The guitar of the mighty Jeff Tamalier. He's doing gigs now, I think, in Dublin, California. I'll get to that in depth in next week's show. But Jeff, of course, everybody's coming back as far as the pandemic's concerned. And in fact, I've got an announcement right now. Palometto Productions is going to go July the 3rd at the Old Caesars Palace, which is Club Rocopoco. It holds about 500 people. That's going to go down July 3rd. Of course, we're going to rock and roll. This will be La Fuente 2021. The website, tickets will be on sale Monday morning. So the bottom line is, I'm ready to rock and roll. Getting the promotional hat back on once again. The pandemic is history, I hope. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live worldwide, often imitated but never duplicated, taking it to the West Coast, bringing in boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And, sir, how are you today? How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. You know, it's a dead boxing weekend, but, you know, what can you say?
We'll get to the death in the next segment. But bottom line, let's talk about Devin Haney. Of course, Devin Haney out of San Francisco now, 26-0, WBC lightweight champion, successful over last week over Jorge Linares. And, you know, when you look at Haney's performance, he got hit a couple of times, and he reacted well to the punches. Well, what I got to ask is, does he take a good punch or is he chinny? I mean, can we take anything from that fight with Linares?
Well, I mean, I've been in the gym with Devin Haney, got dropped with a flash knockdown. Okay. One time he sparred a friend of mine here in New York. He was heavier. My friend's a junior middleweight. So I have seen Devin Haney rocked. And in this instant, he really showed, I got to give him credit. You know, he showed heart. You know, he showed heart. It was Linares shows he still has in him, which is he's a live fighter, even at this
I hate to cut you off, Mr. Boxing PhD, but, you know, like Eddie Croft said last week, he didn't have enough to, you know, we'll hear from Linares in a little bit, but he didn't have enough to go for the kill. In other words, when I've said this for something of my entire life, but when you're the opponent in a fight, in a boxing match, everything is against you. Basically, the promoter, the matchmaker, they've drawn this match on paper for you to lose, okay? So you get one opportunity to win, maybe, you've got to take it and go for it like it's death or nothing. You know what I'm saying? And Linares, I thought, had that chance and didn't do it.
You are spot on. I mean, Haney's luck, you know, was that the punch happened about a second or two before the bell. I think if it happens, you know, with about 30 seconds, you know, the conversation that we're having on the phone is a lot different, you know. And then the next round, his legs went under him, and he basically went to hug Linares. I mean, I don't think he's ever hugged his father that way. It was that egregious. And, you know, it was, you know, he became an internet meme over that. But, you know, it was a great shot. Linares, once again, you know, falls short, you know, in a big fight. I mean, we saw him drop Lomachenko a couple of years back, and gave Devin Haney basically the first 8 rounds. He didn't do much. I mean, I can't say gave it away. Devin had a great game plan. He stuck to it. His jab was beautiful, showed decent defense, but about the last 4 rounds or so, I don't know if it was gassed out or the punch definitely had something to do with it. And Devin Haney turned defensive. It was reminiscent of Camacho Rosario. I wonder how Devin Haney's gonna fight the rest of his career.
Well, that was cute. I know what you're talking about, because in the 5th round of that fight between Edwin Rosario and Hector Camacho, may they both rest in peace, the Macho Man got rocked with a left hook, and he was never macho after that.
Never again. he was a different Hector Camacho the rest of his career after that shot by the late Chapo Rosario.
Linares is going to be the bridesmaid, never the bride, correct? I mean, that's going to be his legacy.
I can't say that because he was a former world champion, and he's been around for a while now. I mean, Linares is not a spring chicken. He's fought Luke Campbell, Lomachenko, like we said, you know, but definitely it might have been his swan song. I don't think we're going to get maybe another as good Linares if he fights a high level opponent. But you can't count him out. The guy's always in shape, you know, and he has no bad habits outside the ring. My question going into that fight was, is his face going to hold up? And it did. You know, normally he's a guy that cuts and bruises easy, you know, but he held on. You know, his face held up. He just got started way too late in the fight.
Okay, cuts and bruises easy. Jorge Linares, let's hear him post-fight.
Here we are with Jorge Linares after his tough fight with Devin Haney. You almost had him, Jorge. You had him really, really hurt.
But, you know, I know very well. I lose the first round to still to fight. I lose because, you know, it's the inactivity. I was so tired because I was thinking only the block. And then when I gave the chance, give it to him punch, you know, combination and everything like that because I have more punch than him. But the referee was a little intense. And then after third round, I gave the chance to give it to him a lot of punch. The ninth round, I have a big chance. When he come back to the ring, he was so bad. And then he come to only click me. Clinch. Yeah. So, and the referee was more intense. I was thinking he wanna take one pointer, you know? But, you know, boxing is like that. I was good. I'm very happy with my job. But, you know, the inactividad es muy fuerte.
Inactivity is very hard.
Son 16 meses sin pelear y por más que sea siempre me afectó.
And it affected him a lot.
Y cuando comencé a golpearlo, comenzó a agarrarse y el referee también estaba fastidioso. Pensé que me iba a quitar puntos.
I thought the ref was going to take points from me because, you know.
But, you know, boxing is like that. So, as I tell to Golden Boy, give it to me the opportunity again for rematch. He don't want to do that. 100% he don't want.
How did Devin feel in there? How was the jab?
No, he was fast. He was fast, but I didn't feel his punch. No. He had only good speed. Good speed, but only that.
What else was difficult in the fight for you, anything?
His style is a little difficult because he's going always and back, and then click.
No doubt about it, Jorge Linares came to fight, but like he was 38 years old or 39 years old or 55 years old. The bottom line, he was old and couldn't go for the kill. And I'll say it again. If you're the opponent, you're the guy, everything's against you. The blueprint's against you. I mean, everybody's drawing this fight up. You're supposed to lose. You get a chance to win. And if you don't jump at it, shame on you. Bottom line is the flip side of this coin, of course, was the winner. The WBC champion, 135 pounds, now 26 and zip. San Francisco's very own Devin Haney.
I think that, you know, the great thing about this situation is there is no network problems. And that's generally an excuse as to why a fight can't get made. So there are no excuses. So if Al Haymon wants to make an offer to us and Bill and Devin to fight Tank on pay-per-view, no problem. It's a massive pay-per-view fight. You know, if someone wants an offer from us, sizable offer to do it on DAZN, no problem. So I think he's in such a great position because there are really no excuses as to why one of those fights shouldn't happen. And that's when I talked earlier about how I feel you guys gave Ryan Garcia a huge pass, because where's the excuse for that one? Same network, mandatory challenger. And it was just like, no, that's just not going to happen. Why? Why not? You know, I think people will need to be more accountable if those kind of fights don't happen. So now, Tank, Teofimo, There's no excuse.
Who do you think, Devin, is the best of the 30, other than yourself, who is the best opponent for you at 35? Is it Teo, or is there somebody else you think is better?
All those guys are good. You know, I can't just sit here and just lie to the media and not lie to the fans and say that all those guys aren't good. I think all those guys are good, and all of them will be a huge fight. But I really want belts right now. I want to become the undisputed lightweight champion in the world. So, I mean, the one that I will want the most is Teo.
Teofimo Lopez, of course, put down Tank Davis. Didn't want to do the Tank Davis fight, but they're talking about that, putting Al Haymon together. Of course, Al Haymon, we'll see if that happens. I don't know if Al's willing to put up Tank Davis against this young man, Devin Haney, but we'll see what's happening. The Zone says, and Eddie Hearn says, they're willing to match these guys, and they're willing to go outside of the network. Of course, they got fights inside the network with people like Ryan Garcia, but Ryan's on the 21-day disabled list as of right now, I believe. Anyway, bottom line is Ring Talk Live Worldwide is not going to trash referee Russell Moore. I'm not going to personally. I'm going to let you do that. Was Russell Moore another fine performance by Russell Moore there, Socrates Palmer?
You know, I really didn't notice him. You know, I don't think he did a terrible job. Whenever you notice a referee, that's, you know, he's doing a little too much. I didn't have a problem with Mora, who traditionally, you know, tends to be one of the worst referees, you know.
What about Las Vegas' other guy, Kenny Bayless? Is he up to snuff? I mean, is he considered? He gets all these fights. Is he worthy of getting these fights?
I think that Kenny has had better. I think his better years are behind him. You know, I don't know if it's age. Sometimes when you do something for so long, you kind of get stale at your craft. You know, we've seen countless big mistakes. You know, the infamous one that I remember that was just so egregious was when Chino Maidana rocked Floyd Mayweather with overhand right, and he came in like to break up the, you know, to break up the action. Like, what are you supposed to do? Like, what are you doing? That's not in the script. You know. So I think it's time for Vegas to start cultivating young officials. That's for sure.
Socrates Palmer, Boxing's PhD on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV, coming to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, SportsByline.com, iHeartRadio, and of course, SiriusXM Satellite Radio Channel 217. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. You ought to be having fun. Everybody,
come on, have some fun with me. Having fun. Yeah. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You think you won the fight?
Yeah, but I'm good with a draw.
Why?
Because I entertained the crowd. The crowd was happy with it.
Mike Tyson, of course, talking to Hustle. He knows how to hustle. He was hustling weed now. Mike Tyson's weed brand, but he was talking about, of course, the exhibition with Roy Jones, which both those guys sort of like, they did a work. And I think that there's a good chance that the Logan Paul or Floyd Mayweather encounter exhibition, call it what you want. But Socrates Palmer, I'm going to ask you that. There's $80 million for Floyd Mayweather. You're $20 million for this guy, Logan Paul. Is there a chance that for the $80 million that Floyd would do a work for this guy?
I don't think so. I mean, I love a good conspiracy theory as much as the next person, but no, I can't see this being anything other than what it is, a circus, a farce, a joke. Help me out here. A fun night if you're a fan of Floyd Mayweather, and there's nothing wrong with being a fan of Mayweather, but if you're a fan of real boxing, this isn't it. And, you know, I'm actually shocked that Showtime has dove in headfirst into this nonsense going on tomorrow.
But here's what's up. I'm of the opinion that if this guy was to somehow catch Floyd Mayweather and lightning in a bottle, that kind of stuff, or at least rock him or hurt him or something like that, it would obviously expose Floyd for being the old man that he is. But it might bring more squares to the boxing scene. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think we need more squares.
Absolutely. Well, sports is the hardcore sports is a major business. We all know that. I'm not saying anything new. But squares are needed in all sports. I mean, why is the Super Bowl the biggest event of the year? Because it brings in a big amount of squares, you know, and a big fight does that, you know, absolutely. Listen, it's good exposure for boxing, in one aspect. You have a following that the Pauls have, you know, whether you like it or not, it's real, you know, that it's a teenage generation Z. And if maybe 1 out of 100 is interested in going to a boxing gym, I think that's a good thing. You know, after watching, you know, someone that they look up to, get in the ring. I mean, it's a farce, but you know, I will be a hypocrite and watch.
Okay. Are you going to pay for that? You'll find, put it this way, you're going to watch it over to a friend's house, right?
Yeah. I may stick my eye through the fence. You know, there might be somebody that'll order it in my neighborhood.
Okay. Nordine Obali and Nonito Donaire. Donaire, 38 years old, now the new WBC bantamweight champion, exactly. But Nordine Obali, it was like he had never been hit in the mouth before. Talk about squares. He just had that reaction, like, pow! He got smacked that first time, and from that point forward, he's like in shock.
Yeah, I mean, is a guy that had a very decorated amateur background, you know, an Olympian, had beaten a couple of decent fighters too. You know, he beat Payano and Richey Warren, but he found out the new cliche, which is that there's levels to this sport. And he went into the ring with a Hall of Famer, and, you know, credit to Donito Donaire. You know, I thought he was going to win because he was a bigger guy. And I think that definitely played into it. You know, he was just, he looked great. You know, he turned back the clock and punched his ticket into the Hall of Fame with that performance.
Okay, and he hasn't called me. I've reached out to him to get an interview, and he hasn't called me because, you know, his wife Rachel runs the show. She really runs the show, and I'm not saying that in a negative manner. She just runs the show. She was in the corner. Larry Merchant took note of that she was in the corner.
Yeah.
And from what I've been told, she has essentially taken over training. She already had the negotiating power, but now she's taken over the training camp. She is the man, per se.
You know what? And Donaire said that, too, I believe, in the post-fight. The evolution of the sport, you know, maybe, you know, listen, there is no type of relationship that you can have like you have with your wife. Definitely breaks the old, you know, a lot of old timers like Ray Arcel probably turning over in their grave hearing that. But, you know, it, whatever works for them, you know.
Okay, all right. Now, I'm glad you brought up Ray Arcel because I just got a text here shot into me from Rob Hernandez 60 on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, and he thinks that there's no great trainers left. That the last great trainer to go was Emmanuel Stewart. I'm going to bring up guys that I think that are world class without a doubt. Brian McIntyre, we saw him in action recently. Ronnie Shields, Abel Sanchez appears retired. Joe Gallagher, Robert Garcia, although Garcia seems to be the bridesmaid in a lot of occasions and not the bride as far as his stable is concerned. Derek James, Freddie Roach, you'll know a whole lot about Derek James. Shane McGuigan, I do know a bit about. And Virgil Hunter's local across the bay, of course, the trainer that brought us Andre Ward. Any other big names jump out as far as top 10 trainers jump out for you? You're from New York.
Let me see. East Coast-wise, Andre Rozier has had a decent run lately. Buddy McGirt, you know, he's definitely had a lot of success. But, you know, there's a lot of great trainers that you just never hear about because they don't get the right horse, you know? I mean, the greatest jockey of all time was Willie Shoemaker.
Yeah.
You know, but he wasn't going to win the Kentucky Derby with a jackass. You know, you need the thoroughbred, you know. Emmanuel Stewart, just a guy that, a legend that took guys from the amateurs. You know, that's what I respected more about from Emmanuel Stewart. Took guys from day one, you know. A lot of guys, you know, tend to take over a finished product and just, you know, become good strategy guys or good motivational guys. But guys like Emmanuel Stewart, they don't seem to be around anymore. Freddie Roach has worked extensively with the U.S. amateur program. And from what I understand, still works like an 8-10 hour day. You know, he's a lifer, you know. So, like most sports, it's easy to point out that the fundamentals are being lost, you know. And I'll give you a good example. There's some guys that just they try to do this Mayweather-like pad work, you know, and then they put a towel over their shoulder and they call themselves a trainer.
Well, I've been going through this, but that I've noticed that since the beginning of time. The first time I walked into a boxing gym in 1967, my father told me half these guys are bums. I said, "What do you mean the fighters?" He goes, "No, they're trainers." Nacho Berasin is a name that we skipped there. I think he's pound for pound maybe the best right now.
A legend, yes, absolutely, yes. I mean, you know, since the Marquez brothers have, you know, gone, he really hasn't had anybody in the mainstream. Reynoso. Got to give him his props too. He's got the thoroughbred, but you know, he also did a great job with Oscar Valdez.
Yeah, Bobby Benton down there in Houston's got a good. He's a pretty good trainer as well. So there are some up and comers, no doubt about that. Now, as far as the weekend's concerned, not a whole lot of boxing. Danny Dubois later. Pound for pound, though, right now, if you talked about the fighter of the year thus far, it has to be Donaire, the 3-1 underdog coming through like he did in the clinch against a younger guy that was undefeated. Man, you can't say enough about that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not dogging his wife because if it's a winning team and she's doing this, more power to her. 38 years old, something's got to be done a little bit differently.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure Nonito does not train the same way that he did when he was, you know, in the amateurs or when he was 20 years old, when he had young joints. You know, I'm sure he works out, you know, the best way to fit his body and more recovery. It's definitely, I would say he has to be in the lead for Fight of the Year, you know, and a great win, you know, it was a really great win, an upset, and he wants to keep going, you know, he wants to keep going, he wants to unify, he said. I saw the Australian fighter called him out, one of the brothers, Maloney. Mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting fight, you know, and of course he's looking for the rematch against Inoue. I'm not sure if that fight ends any different, though. You know, as much as I like Donaire, I think he should stay away from the monster.
Yeah, he's young and he's got a little bit more experience, although he had some broken optic bones from that first fight. So Donaire did do some serious damage, no doubt about that. Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, always a pleasure, sir. Say hello to the family, agent. Tell Sophie, give Sophie my best. And, of course, the woman of the year, without a doubt, your wife. Give her my best. Give her props, man.
Thank you, brother. I certainly do. Enjoy your weekend.
All right. The great Socrates Palmer, boxing's only PhD on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. After the break, we'll take it to the UK and bring in, of course, Sir Kenneth Rainford. Why? Things are happening in the UK as far as television is concerned. Big television deals in the UK. And, of course, Kenny talked about this a few weeks ago. So what he predicted came true. We'll talk with the forecaster himself, Sir Kenneth Rainford, after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. WBC Boxing TV on Twitch.tv, Sports Byline USA channel.